Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. And on today's show, I've got a really interesting guest. His name is David, and he is an author. He also has a really interesting story of being fired later in life and having to kind of reinvent himself. So I think for those of you that have that concern, this will be actually a really good conversation to have. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on with you in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. David, how are you, sir?
Great, Jeff. Glad to be on your show. Appreciate it.
How do we pronounce your last name?
Nassif.
Nassif. Okay, yes. Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
I was making it harder than it needed to be.
That's true.
Well, David, tell us a little bit about yourself and your story, because just our initial conversation, it piqued my interest as well. So.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Well, it all started when I was 63, and I just got fired after 18 years with the same company. I tell you, I would not wish that to anybody.
No.
I did the math, and if we drained all of our savings and all of our investments, we would be broke by 65. And I'm thinking, who is going to hire me at my age?
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm driving home after that kind of traumatic experience, and I'm thinking, how am I going to tell Mary? We'd been married for 30 years, and I felt like the biggest loser. She did not deserve the mess I just threw our whole life into.
Yeah.
So anyways, after a couple months of dead-end job searching, I decided to take a huge risk, and I went to work as an independent sales agent. Okay. No salary, no commission, no safety net.
Yeah.
So the first months were absolutely brutal. Cold calls, constant rejection, rookie mistakes. I remember, Jeff, meeting a prospect, and he was interested, and he asked me to leave some sales materials. And I realized I forgot to bring the sales materials. What salesman does that? I felt like if I actually had a job, I would fire me. So anyways, I was a newcomer in a local market. I constantly heard people saying, oh, no, we've had our agent for years. You know, we're not interested. But finally, somehow, I was able to just get a couple clients. And then the competitors started circling like junkyard dogs, trying to steal them from me. I actually felt like the chihuahua in the fight. I was so out of my element. But anyways, after 10 months of grinding, I hit an incredible milestone. I was suddenly making more money than my good paying corporate salary. And for a second, I thought, we made it. But then a reality surfaced. I said, Jesus, I haven't saved anything. You know, making money isn't enough. I have to learn how to invest. But but my late start, I didn't have time to waste with a bunch of theories and investment, you know, whatever. So I just dug in, started doing my own research, and I created a one-page wealth compass with a key point is a set it and forget it approach.
Okay.
Six years later, Jeff, at age 69, I achieved what I thought was impossible. From terrified to being broke, to a seven-figure portfolio and real financial freedom. And I learned from that experience, it is never too late to rewrite your story. Mm-hmm. Because if I can do that starting as late as 63, anybody can with the right direction.
Yeah, so that's and you really didn't have much of a financial background, it sounds
not
like.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah. And I spent 40 years wasting my time going in circles, doing the wrong thing. I think everything that you can invest in wrong, I did it.
Yeah.
So
well, let's unpack that a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what it was that you were able to kind of adjust yourself around and say, okay, I've got this short period of time and I've got to get there somehow. How did you do it?
Well, I tell you, I think the best way to explain it is just to tell you what inspired the compass. Then I'll show you the first thing that saved me like $250,000 off the bat. Okay. Here's what happened. This is what inspired it. It's an actual story. It's a true story. Scientists at the Max Planck Institute did an experiment. They took people and they put them in the center of a dense German forest, and they told them to walk in a straight line to the edge. Okay. Now these were confident and capable people, but when the sun was covered by the clouds, the people started wandering and walking in circles. Some of them ended up right back where they began. And yet every one of them was absolutely insistent. No, no, they were walking in a straight line. That is exactly what I was doing for 40 years with money. Sure. Working hard, feeling like I was making good decisions, but ultimately going nowhere, ending up right back where I started. So that's kind of how the inspiration of it. Now, let me share with you what happened when I first made it, okay? Before it was even finished, I had a tool in there that saved me, like I said, $250,000. And here's what happened. I was now 64 at the time.
Okay.
So desperate to catch up when a fiduciary advisor who I was referred to recommended something she said was amazing, a LIRP. A life insurance retirement plan.
Yep.
Okay. Tax-free income, long-term savings, and just everything, whole package. Yeah. Anyways, when she mentioned some members of Congress invested in it, I was really impressed. And so then she said something. She says, David, if you invest in this with me, I'll waive my quarterly fee. Now, one of the tools of my unfinished at this point Wealth Compass was follow the money. And it told me to understand how people are getting paid that are advising you or recommending you financially. So I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, if she can waive her fee if I invest in this, how much commission is she making off of this thing? So I went home that day and I did some research and I found out that these products pay salespeople and advisors very generous commissions. They have sky-high fees and very poor returns. This is the exact opposite of what I told her I needed. I was so far behind, I didn't have time to waste, and I needed steady, stable growth. That tool exposed to me that she was about to make a fortune, and I'd be back to walking in financial circles. So I did a completely, I said, forget this, I'm doing it a different way, and I started to do a different type of research. And here's what I found out, that I got, first of all, in the right kind of investments. Secondly, I was able to avoid getting ripped off by people that were trying to, you know, direct me different directions. And more importantly, what the compass did, it gave me the keys I needed to accelerate my path to get to that financial freedom point. And what it did is it protected my money so I could use it to build my wealth and not somebody else's wealth. And that's kind of like how what inspired it, and actually day one, how it started to work for me.
Okay. Well, can you share anything about what, you know, what type of investments you did to get yourself there?
Yeah. Let me tell you, first of all, what happened was in the first 6 years, which is the 6 years period I'm talking about, I doubled my portfolio three times. Okay. And I promise I wasn't day trading or chasing crypto or trying to time the market. I was actually doing the opposite of that. I was doing something so boring, it would put people to sleep. Okay. What it was, I got a simple investment approach. And the crazy thing of it is, Jeff, is when the market was down, I was thrilled. When other people were panicking and selling, I was buying more shares at discount prices. My only regret was the market wasn't down more during that 6 year period. So, but here's what surprised me was the math. Okay. There's a thing I'm sure your listeners are familiar with called the rule of 72. And it says that it tells you how soon your money will double at a certain rate. So say you're getting a 10% return, it takes about 7.2 years to double your money, or roughly every 86 months. My first double after the compass occurred in 30 months. My second double, only 13 months. And my third number double, 29 months, for an average of 24 months, way less than half the expected 84-month time period. But the secret wasn't the returns, okay? It was, I was doing three things a lot of people just, I guess, don't figure out. One, I was saving a good portion of my income every month. Two, I was taking that money and putting it in the right kind of investments. Okay. And three, I was using market volatility to work for me instead of against me. So many people are caught in the trap of buying high and selling low. And I was one of those people before the compass, I promise you. Okay. But I ended that cycle. Because so many people do the opposite. They either, if they're late like me, they either get panicked and they either get too risky and that ends bad, or they get so conservative, they're not even keeping up with inflation. They're actually going behind each month. Okay, what I found was an approach that built my portfolio twice as fast with half the risk compared to how so many people are doing it today. I'm not saying everybody, but most of the people. So anyways.
Yeah. Okay. So how have you used that or continued to use that to, you know, you're older now. Yeah. I'm assuming you've gotten past, are you still working at this point or are you?
Here's the deal. I am working, but can I just share with you what is going on here? There's a thing I call in the book called FIGNA, Financial Independence, Graduate to the Next Adventure. Okay. Where FIRE is more focused on stopping work. Okay. Yeah. What I'm focused on is having the freedom to choose the work you love. Okay. When I was fired at 63, they tried to put me out to pasture, but I decided to jump the fence instead. Okay. I turned a crisis into a graduation. And what it is right now, I just love what I do. I just can't even think of wanting to retire. First of all, my agency, I love working at my agency, and my sons join me now. I really enjoy sharing the compass with people, and I look forward to my volunteer work every month. Now, I'm not saying retirement's bad. It's not, of course. Yeah. But it's just not for me, okay? For some people, graduating to the next adventure might be retiring, and that's a good thing for them, okay? But I think when you have the freedom, you can choose what you want to do as opposed to being forced to make choices you don't really want to make. So
absolutely.
That's my view on retirement. It's not for everybody, but I just can't comprehend retiring.
Yeah. Now, you share the, as you said, an agency. So do you own an insurance agency or
it's kind of an insurance agency. It's a little technical, but I it's a B2B kind of wholesale agent to businesses. It's not the typical like insurance agency. And so that's kind of what it is. Yeah.
Okay. So you do B2B work. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you know, at some point, I mean, yeah, it sounds like you're enjoying what you're doing and all that. Is at some point is the goal, okay, I don't want to work anymore and I want to just do volunteer work and things like that? Or do you think you'll continue to work, you know, on into retirement farther?
Well, here's the interesting thing. I reinvented myself at 63. Okay.
Sure.
Now at 72, which is what I am now. Okay. Mm-hmm. I became an author. Okay. Yep. And I just can't wait to see what I'm going to do at 82. I don't know what that's going to be yet, but I just look forward to it. I don't see an end to this. Maybe I'll be forced to end, I don't know, you know, health or whatever, but I feel good about my health, but now that's not on my horizon at all, but you know, it could be someday.
The reason I asked the point of it is, it is one of those things that, you know, I believe that you should. I think a lot of people, you know, there's this belief that, okay, I've got to, you know, work for years, save all this money up, and then I'm going to be able to retire at that point. And, you know, then I'm just going to sit on the front porch and whittle wood. You know, I think the reality for a lot of people is, one, we're living a lot longer than most people thought they ever would. You know, I talk to people and, you know, well, how long do you think you're going to live for? Well, you know, I mean, my dad died at 52. Okay, well, you're 65. So,
right.
Okay, that's, you know, kind of taken out of the picture at that point. You know, I think our generations, you know, yours and mine have, you know, we've taken better care of ourselves. I think we are more aware of health. I think we've had better health care. So the odds are we're going to last a lot longer and we need to plan for that. So I don't think it is a wrong thing to say that part of my retirement is that I might work part-time. You know, I look at it from my perspective. I don't dig ditches for a living. I mean, I do this.
Exactly.
I own a wealth management company. Okay, I don't, you know, once again, don't dig ditches for a living, and people can enjoy 30 years of me doing this with the experience of how to navigate what's going on in the markets. So why wouldn't I continue to do this for a long time? Now, do I want to do it as hard as I work today? Probably not.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, I can bring on people to help me do that type of stuff. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing to say, well, part of my retirement plan is I'm going to continue to work. So I'm not responsible for having to have a seven-figure portfolio. I can have a smaller portfolio and then be able to go and do the fun things I want to do when I want to.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we live on a beautiful golf course, and I look at those golfers And I say, you know, I'm assuming this is fun for you, and I'm sure it is. They wouldn't be doing it. But for me, visiting with a client, being on a podcast, that is play for me. That's not work for me. I don't look at that. And I can tell just by talking to you, you don't look at it as work either. This is play for you.
Well, I don't know where you live, but I live in Texas. So the entire summer is miserable to be outside on a golf course, you know. And I got a good friend that lives out in Arizona, and I'm thinking to myself, I have no interest to be. It's 1,000 degrees outside. I don't want to go walk around a dang golf course.
I know.
And sweat and get roasted all day. That has no interest to me at all.
I'm in Phoenix, so I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you can relate. Ron, he doesn't even enjoy it himself. He works during the day, and then he goes and plays pickleball at night. Where he can do that in a cooler type of environment. But I just don't foresee that. And I think that's a worthwhile option for people to say, hey, I'm going to continue to work and do stuff that I love, but I just get to control when I do it, which is even better.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. So the book, how's it doing so far?
Excellent. It actually hit Amazon's hot new number one book or whatever it was in the category. So I'm thrilled about that.
New release.
New release. And just in a couple of weeks, I've got a bunch of reviews already. Nobody I know either. These are not friends of mine. They're just really.
So I can't do that anyhow. If you've ever shipped anything to anybody on Amazon, you can't get them to do a review.
So I'm thrilled with that. I didn't do this to be an author. I did this because I want to share something that I feel passionate about that I think it can help a lot of people. So that's my point.
Awesome. Yeah. So what do you see as kind of the future for what it is that you do? What do you want to see happen with the One Page Wealth guy?
Well, what I'd like to see happen is it just get into as many people's hands as possible. You know, one of the things they can do is they can go online to Amazon and read the first two chapters for free. You know, and that's why I encourage you. I'm not here to try to sell anything to anybody, but I mean, if it resonates with you, great. If it doesn't, great too. But I think it's my story and it's how I dug out of a deep hole that I actually never thought I'd dig out of. And I just says, you know, it's like when you're in a store, I mean, someone hands you a lifeline, you make it to safety. It's the ultimate in selfishness to not to share it with people. And that's exactly what I'm doing here. I'm just trying to share it with people about the program.
Fantastic. So how does somebody get their hands on it?
Sure. Actually, if you just go to onepagewealthcompass.com, and the very first thing you'll see is I give it for free. There's no cost here at all. Is the actual PDF of the One Page Compass that I use that got me from broke to financial freedom in 6-year period. And they can go on there. And when they sign up for my newsletter, which is part of it, that's the first thing you'll get. And the reason I did the newsletter is, again, everything's free, is because I want to give some support to the compass. You know, like, here's a tip that, you know, you may not realize just reading the one page, that, you know, here's a little more in depth, that kind of thing. And so it's a tool, but it's a tool with some support behind it. And again, no cost to anybody. You can't buy anything on the site. There's nothing for sale except a link to an Amazon book, you know, if you want to get a book.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the fast five questions then.
Great.
All right. So first question, you wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, place to live, food and clothing. What are you going to do first?
Well, the first thing I would do, Jeff, is I would play to my strengths. One thing I've learned over the years is what I'm good at, sales of intangible products that I really, really believe in with a passion, not just I'm just selling. Okay. And so I know that, and this took a while to figure out for me, but so the very first thing I would do is I'd say, okay, what's a product out there that I truly believe in and that I could sell with integrity and honesty? And that's what I would do. And I know if I did that, like I said, I would get back on my feet quite quickly.
Excellent. Fantastic question or answer. Second question, what's your biggest business mistake that you've ever made?
Well, it's embarrassing, but my first business, which was a couple decades back, I failed. Okay, it failed miserably. But I opened it and I kept it going longer than I should have. I should have pulled the plug a lot longer. I remember 1 year after I'd been in business, I kind of saw the writing on the wall, but I didn't want to admit it and face it. And my father-in-law, he was helping me one day and looking at the books, and he says, David, you're bleeding money. And I didn't want to hear that. I actually almost resented him for saying that. I respected him immensely. I love him greatly. But I'm just saying, I just didn't want to face reality. Four years, I stuck with that business. And then it plunged me into serious deep depth. I should have pulled the plug in the first year. I knew it in my heart. I just didn't want to face the truth. And this job, I knew in 10 months it was making money more than I'd made before. So it just, waiting too long when you're in the wrong thing, I think was
what I was saying. Makes sense. Well, and it happens to a lot of people. It's, you don't want to admit failure, but, failure sometimes is hanging on too long.
Yeah, exactly.
instead of realizing, okay, this isn't working, I need to find something better, or, let's cut the bleeding off as quickly as possible. So,
yep, I agree.
Excellent. What is a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
This one is going to sound odd, but it's a book called The Goal by Eli Goldratt. It's an engineering book. And I know that sounds weird. What do you mean, an engineering book? But it's written in a story form. And the principles in it are all about, that it'd be applied anywhere in life, on how to get through bottlenecks, how to get through impossible problems. Mm. I have not read many books other than the Bible multiple times. But this is one I've read 5 times and over the years, because it's that good. Okay. And again, don't let the engineering part turn you off. It's just this. It's just the principles in it are amazing, and I think that's what I'd recommend.
Awesome, great one. What is a tool that you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
For me, it's virtual assistants. They're always working in the background for me, or I'm interacting with them. I like Upwork and Fiverr. Upwork more for long-term projects, Fiverr for short-term deals. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have a whole virtual team working for me, and I like that. Whatever project I'm in, I go, I can have my assistant do that. And if I don't have an assistant, I can find one that specializes in that area. So I think it's immensely time-saving. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of it, too, is you can find that person that can do that one very specific task for you instead of having to hire somebody that you have to kind of force into that. I don't want to do this, so you're going to do it. And they may not be good at it either.
And if they're not good, you can just break it off, right?
You're done. Yeah.
No issues. No firing up.
Next one. Yeah. I mean, that's the way I look at it too.
I've even had contests between them to see which one's better.
Yeah. So. I've done that multiple times. I did that with video editing. I had 5 different people do video edits for me. And I saw their work ethic. I had some that were, oh my God, they put so much effort into it. And I'm like, okay, we are a high production facility here. We don't spend, a week working on one project. We work on multiple projects. So it doesn't have to be great. It just has to be good. And that's it. Yeah. But I've done that before where I've been testing them out, and I might give the same 5 videos to 5 different people and see how they come up with it. And it's not too terribly expensive. It's much more expensive finding the wrong person and then trying to get them to do what you need them to do.
I agree.
Yeah. Last question for you. What is your definition of freedom?
My definition of freedom is understanding correct principles and living by it. Because no matter what we're talking about, whether it's money, whether it's faith, whether it's health, whatever, if you're living by correct principles, you're going to have a much easier time in life and have much more freedom and success. If you're living by the wrong ones, like I did for 40 years financially, things get tough. And so, and keeping it simple too, that's why I put it on 1 page, because it's not just correct principles, but simplifying them so you can live them in a way that makes sense for you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, David, thank you for being on the show. Once again, remind us of where they can get the 1 Page Wealth at, and then somebody could get a hold of you if they're interested.
Sure. The website's called onepagewealthcompass.com, onepagewealthcompass.com. And as soon as you get there, you'll see a thing where if you just join the newsletter, you can download the compass immediately, and then you'll get ongoing support in the newsletter. And that's where I'd go. And then there's a place if you want to contact me, right? There's a form you can contact me too.
Okay. Beautiful. Fantastic. Right. Well, David, thank you for being on the show today. We appreciate you being on and sharing your story with us.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it too.
Look forward to keeping up with you down the road here.
All right. Sounds great. Appreciate it.
Thanks. And well, folks, as always, make sure that you reach out to David if you're interested in learning a little bit more about the 1 Page Wealth Compass. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel. We'll be here. We do 2 shows a week. So make sure that you are subscribed so that you see them. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.